Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Tyler Horsley of Nuclear Networking, and today we are discussing accountability, efficiency, automation, and culture. Tyler is CEO of Nuclear Networking, investor in multiple businesses, and the creator of successful Inc. 500 and Inc. 500 companies. He is the SEO, SEM, digital marketing speaker, business growth consultant, and loves empowering people with tools, values, training, and education to be successful in business. Thanks so much for joining us today, Tyler.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
Tuning in from Denver, Colorado.
Very cool. And what gets you out of bed in the morning? What really motivates and inspires you?
Coffee. No, just kidding.
Let's be real.
I'd classify myself as an accelerated learner, and I would punch myself if I met my fifth grade version of myself, just because, you know, school wasn't super exciting when I was younger, but I love learning and growing. And I know that that's probably a cliche answer, but that's genuinely what gets me motivated. It's a fun, exercise and it's rewarding. So.
Yeah. Well, what's really cool about digital marketing too, is you get to learn about so many different industries, which is really cool.
Right.
And you can kind of put yourself in the shoes of all these different industries and you learn so much. So yeah, especially, you know, if that's what lights you up, then you're in the perfect field, it sounds like.
Right.
Yeah. So how did you get into digital marketing?
I had a very weird path. I would almost put money on it. I'm the only person in my field right now who got here the way that I did. But my original career was actually federal intelligence. And so worked for-
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a couple different federal agencies, big three-letter agencies, and military contracting, and really was, I've always been entrepreneurial though. And so I guess that's probably the commonality that drew these two worlds together. But I've loved investigating and picking things apart at a deep level and finding out how they work. Anything from pattern recognition. I worked in profiling. And it turns out all that stuff is really helpful in marketing because that's what you do. You deconstruct your competitors. You figure out what they're doing. You find patterns in what's working.
Yeah.
You set up demographic and psychographic profiles and then you go with it. And so that's how I'm here.
Oh, that's so cool. And then, so why did you decide to start Nuclear Networking?
I really liked the idea of exclusive knowledge and supporting individuals around that, meaning there's certain things in the world that only a few people know a lot about. And there's certainly also no shortage of people who claim to be SEOs, you know, and like any other field and more, but to do a really, really deep dive in a specific niche and do it well, I found that the outcome of doing this well actually grows businesses in a really tangible way. And
yeah.
So for fun, when I'm pitching in front of private equity, you know, we'll position ourselves as financial managers. And it's like, we take your finance and we reinvest them into specific marketing channels and we grow your finance. And so that was always exciting for me.
Very cool. And what do you love most about running your agency?
I would say kind of as you put it in the introduction, it's not just about becoming an expert in marketing. I actually get to see how every single company works in most spaces over many years and how they change and really the best, quickest, or most efficient way to grow companies. Even if I'm not an expert in that field, I'm like, oh, I know exactly the things that work in these particular spaces that will grow you by X%. And so that's one of the most exciting things. Yeah.
That's awesome. And what would you say are the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day while running your agency?
Finding only the biggest ones for this time we have together.
I know there's probably a lot.
Tons. I would say the biggest one right out of the gate was letting go and trusting good people to do great work.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Tendencies for an entrepreneur or a visionary are, especially if you're bootstrapping something and you're just starting, like, mm-hmm. I need to take on business and anything. And I need to make sure that it's done perfectly so we get paid and we can keep the lights on and stuff. Yeah. That you think about when you're early in this space, there's only one of you. And, you know, and I know we'll probably jump into a little later on EOS and more, but it's like, if you can't get out of that mindset, you'll never grow ever. And
yeah.
Scale and you'll never sleep, and it'll impact your personal life and health and relationships. And so that's probably the biggest thing, which, by the way, I think never ends. I think you, like, one of my mentors always tells me, like, you should always strive to try to fire yourself a little bit more each day. Like,
that's great advice.
That's probably the biggest one. And then as you get bigger, you know, the second one is managing people and accountability, and like, how can you know, you know, if 20, 30, 80 people are doing their jobs well? And so finding systems that kind of automate a lot of that is a huge hurdle as well. So.
Yeah, those are two really good things to be aware of, definitely.
Right.
If you had one growth tip, agency growth tip for an up and coming entrepreneur starting an agency, what would that be?
Meet the experts in specific niches for every deliverable that you think you're going to sell. Meaning, if you're going to start an SEO agency that also does advertising in Google and Facebook and more, before you go out there and try to build it on your own, meet the people who are the best in the space, and not only to learn from them, and this is 100% my styling, so others may not agree with this, maybe you can partner with them. And in fact, maybe they can supply unlimited amounts of services to your clients in a white label fashion or as a partner. And I would do that for two reasons. One, building entire infrastructure from ground up, wow, that's a lot of work, you know? And then there's so much more complexity that we could go into around that. But two, your clients, your core focus at the end of the day and the value of the services that they receive, you're actually now helping them meet the best people in the space. So if anybody buys from you, whether it's white label or not, they're actually getting the expert in backlink acquisition and SEO, or the expert in social, or the expert in Google Ads. And while you may experience a little bit less revenue up front, because presumably you're paying them and you might, you know, mark it up or whatever your model is, your retention goes out the roof. And that's what really helps you. And so that would be the thing I would focus on if I had to do it again.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great tip. That's amazing. So I'd love to dive into our topic now. So we're going to be talking about accountability, efficiency, automation, and culture. So let's start off by talking about accountability and how this plays such an important role in your agency.
Yeah, I will, and we can certainly deep dive into individual categories, but I'd say like accountability and culture are very much tied together. It certainly needs to be a part of your culture. Just to clarify too, for listeners, when I first learned about culture, it's like, what really is culture? Is it amenities? Is it snacks and nitro coffee and kombucha? Is it ping pong and, you know, unlimited PTO?
Yeah.
What is it? What makes culture? And it's like, well, while Google set an unrealistic standard for most people, which they've actually retracted some, because turns out startups can't offer the same thing like a $1 billion company does, but those $1 billion companies tend to pay less too. Amenities. So you kind of need to know who you're trying to attract initially. Do you want people working for money who that's one of their core motivations, so they can have a better family or lifestyle, and they don't need Pop-Tarts, you know, or whatever your thing is. Or is it people who just want to kind of have fun and have more of a relaxation at work, and they're not really at the level where they need a lot of finance right now? That's the first thing, first and foremost. So given my background, I look for people who love achieving, just like I do, because that's the people I work with best. They like doing their job really well the first time. Certainly we have the fun stuff, some fun stuff here too, but that's not like the core attraction, because I think I would attract a different demographic that may not align as best with our clients' expectations, right?
I agree, yeah.
So with all of that and what all of this will actually center around, and no, I'm not getting commission and I'm not an implementer and all this stuff, but like EOS or traction, you can Google what the heck is traction. It's actually a book.
Yes.
It helps us tremendously, tremendously. Mm-hmm. And people in my entrepreneurs organization group, so you've heard of YPO or EO, mm-hmm. I do recommend those groups if you're a C-level and you qualify. I was never a big like lead group person. But this is like camaraderie, and you can complain and break down or cry or celebrate with these people, and it's all in confidence, and they understand the business struggles too. But they kept saying, you need to implement EOS. You need to implement EOS.
It's a game changer.
Yeah. So we hired an implementer, and that worked best for me because I already don't have enough bandwidth. and sometimes like I need managed, right? If you're the C-level of a company, you're the visionary, you kind of wing it and make your own decisions. And even if it works, you still might be doing something wrong, and you need to allow somebody to speak into your life and be like, hey, you suck at this. Let somebody else do better, right? Get out of your own way kind of thing. So they helped us really pull out our core values, which we hire and fire by the way, mm-hmm. not just laser technical aptitude. Mm-hmm. And those core values are just reiterated over and over and over again. And we also put them in our job descriptions, and we interview based on them. And so that really helps form culture a lot. And the accountability portion has to be there to sustain culture. You can chant around your office all day about how you're here for relentless results and you're going to create wealth or happiness for your clients. If people aren't submitting their work or getting it done on time, and one person's doing all the work and the other's not, very quickly it becomes apparent, not only is there no accountability, but you don't really live your values. So accountability to ensure that those values are being lived. And as you already know, through EOS, setting scorecards, individual KPIs by person, that's really helped all of this. And so people will buy in, they really will, because they know that if they're an A player, they're seen, they're not invisible, you know, like so many are right now in their jobs.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you brought up the EOS, the entrepreneurial operating system. Cause we read the book and we've implemented it. We didn't hire an implementer, so it definitely was, there's a lot of moving parts, so it takes a little while to fully implement it. But now that we're up and running with it, it's so just setting those quarterly goals, those rocks, and then having the scorecard to make sure that you're meeting all those KPIs, keeping you accountable is such a game changer. It just keeps you so organized, you know what you're working on, and it's so valuable.
Yep. Same.
Yeah.
I agree fully.
So. I love that. So let's move on to efficiency. So how do you make yourself more efficient as a business owner?
Two ways. So one, I built this organization out of a survival mindset. Some people start companies out of boredom. Others fall into or inherit money. Others just do it out of sheer hobby. I came from a different organization and had a passion for this, but was not funded, never got loans, just used my own money. And we have like, I call it like Fight Club, like the movie, but it's your typical story, living in a basement that's unfinished with spiders, like genuinely for 5 days straight with a couple buddies sleeping on bunk beds. I kid you not. And it for 2 weeks for the story, like this was mandatory for like a year. It was not great. Ramen, the whole thing, and building from scratch. And when you build things from scratch with no money, you very quickly learn like, how can I leverage free materials? And first and foremost, like what can I do for free that still provides value? Mm-hmm. And after that, which is just a lot of learning and consumption. And after that, it's like, how can we provide a better, more automated experience that's more scalable, but that doesn't cost a lot of money too? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the pieces that's really helped me stay in that mindset. So even at our, you know, Inc. 5000, Inc. 500, Business Journal, you name it, all of the cool, you know, things that you're supposed to achieve when you're a business owner.
Yeah,
I have the same mindset. I haven't gotten lazy. I'm not like, oh, well, let's just pay for it. It's like, can we develop this internally? Would this actually be cheaper long-term, and what's the cost savings? So that's really, I think, the mindset that I think people need to adapt to, kind of like think differently and really leverage, you know, either outsourcing or think about developing, or just do a lot of extra groundwork on like shopping around on tools and more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can accomplish when your back's really up against the wall and you have nowhere to go except you got to make it work.
Right. So, yeah, absolutely. And just to add to that briefly, it's a lot of customers, I think, you know, they're out in the market shopping for these acronyms, SEO. It's like, well, what is SEO? Well, I heard it's content, or it's blogging, or it's this, or it's that. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, even just looking at the insides of different agencies, they found one thing that's worked, and they just copy, paste, and rinse, repeat it. And while that's great, imagine if we had done that with the automobile. Not one person said, could this run more efficiently? It's like, so you see these big agencies with major top line, like they're doing 200 million, 500 million a year. Their EBITDA or their job is like less than 5%. That's because like they have a lot of things going on, but it's not really efficient. And when you can create like five times the net profit at only, you know, a 50th of their top line, that to me is like work smarter, not harder. And so that's been a core focus of ours.
Exactly. So what are some of those systems that you would recommend putting in place to boost your efficiency? Without giving away any of your trade secrets, of course.
No worries. So all, just for listeners too, because I recognize they're going to be at different stages in agency growth and more, or maybe it's just a lifestyle business and they don't want to grow bigger than maybe five people. So I will start out with like tangible, you know, maybe some on the market tools and more that people could leverage right now that are within arm's reach. And then I'll share a little bit about what we do, which might not be as much, but, if you, so one, like back to the original thing, like what are you offering? Are you offering SEO? Are you offering digital ads, display ads, social ads, you name it? Have you hired the best possible people to do that job, even if they're making more than you are, as a, so that you can guarantee that your clients are getting the best possible result so they don't leave? Because it's certainly harder to get clients than it is to keep them and upsell them, right? So
definitely.
And those people are scalable, presumably. So maybe those people can take on 30 accounts, and like you certainly should see an ROI on that great person. You can't cheap out on people. So that's what I would say. It might conflict with some out there who have heard like, hey, should I outsource or should I not? What we've done, or what I did initially, was like you hire the best possible people that you can to play quality control, and they know how to manage. And then you can add virtual assistants or people underneath, depending on where your budget's at or where your growth is. If you're growing into a big agency, you know, you're trying to play that role and wear that outfit in a town like Denver or wherever, you know, human capital is also an asset that's worthwhile. So I'm not suggesting like outsource your entire agency, but there's a lot of setup, right? Like, and you can train that. You can train to create a campaign, add payment source, create, you know, and add this copy for these campaigns. And then you're reserving time for the people in-house to do these other strategic things while other people some of that busier work. So what are great tools? If you have contractors, I'm a huge fan of Hubstaff. So Hubstaff, and again, yeah, no commissions or anything on these people, I should buy stock. But I always was like a little weird with hourly work, because I'm like, well, my tendency is initially to trust people, and then you get burned a few times and you're like, all day just running the clock, dang it. And I was a you know, new founder, you can't afford that.
You don't have that guaranteed profit that you're gonna make.
Totally. So what I would recommend doing is start people on Hubstaff, whether you meet them on Upwork or if they work part-time locally or wherever. And Hubstaff is a little big brother-ish, but in my personal opinion, and I could be wrong, if people don't have anything to hide, it shouldn't bother them that much that they are going to be held accountable for the hours that they are charging you for. So I start them out on hourly and maybe run them for 3 months. And I'm like, hey, look, you know, on average, by the way, this thing does have the capability, if you wanted to, it can take random screenshots. It can even monitor mouse movement and keyboard clicks to generate an efficiency score, so you know people haven't walked away from their computer and stayed
locked. Interesting. Okay.
It's cool. Like I said, I came from government, so maybe that's a little heavy for some people, but for us, we were monitored every second, and I was like, cool, no privacy. But But what you can do is that tool isn't meant to be used permanently. It's meant to generate, you know, hopefully long-lasting relationships with quality vendors, right? So you might use this tool to vet 10 different people.
Maybe it's a great idea for vetting someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
10 people come out of that, and not only do you know you have a trustworthy person because they are doing what they're going to do, they have efficiency, they're not shopping on Amazon or watching YouTube all day. Mm-hmm. And then from there, that would be a good opportunity after a 90-day stint to maybe give them a raise. I'd like to bring you on full time. And if it is contract work, instead of doing this hourly, and of course, it's all about positioning, but I have a hunch that you might be able to do work quicker. And I'd like to reward you for that. Hourly is not a way to do that. Project-based is. Mm-hmm. You've spent about 15 minutes setting up a campaign, and you could do about 4 campaigns an hour. So I tell you what, I'm going to pay you per campaign for moving forward instead. And usually they're all about that because that allows them to like sprint versus being hourly. You already know that they're trustworthy. So you pay them per campaign. You already can see your quality. And now you can actually predict your costs moving forward. I have 5 new clients this upcoming month. My costs are going to be exactly X because whether it takes Tom or Barb or whoever, I'm paying them the same. And so I kind of try to move towards those things and move away from hourly, but HubStaff, not HubSpot. There's too many hub things. it's a good way to do that. So that's something that I really like. And then you need to have a project management system. You have to.
We use
Zoho Projects.
What do you use, sorry?
Zoho Projects. And I know your creative firms, people tend to lean more towards like Basecamp. I know that everybody has tried like Trello and Monday and all these things.
Yep.
We ended up moving, and by the way, big warning, try to make your project management system the only one forever. Think about everything, even stuff you're not thinking about now, because the worst thing in the world that we had to do, move everything from Reich, which is actually not a bad system, all over and migrate it to a new system.
That's a good tip. Yeah, that would be a nightmare moving that all over.
It is, but the cool thing about Zoho products, especially if you can afford Zoho One, significantly cheaper than Salesforce, by the way, and all these other things. Mm-hmm. The best fit. I know Salesforce kills it for certain industries, but for us, this integrates with our CRM and it integrates with email marketing and it's like this all-in-one thing and everything talks to everything.
That's awesome.
So like the only thing that we need. And so our sales department, once they close a deal, it automatically creates projects and assigns that to my teams. And then it also automatically creates sales orders for billing. So it's pretty neat.
That's awesome. Very cool. So are there any other key processes within your agency that you want to highlight that you've automated?
I certainly could. And I'm trying to be helpful and not just like brag, but I will tell you like one of the core differentiators here at Nuclear is we've invested massive amounts of resources into automation. Mm-hmm. Some tools certainly can automate for you online. If you can find a few developers that write in Python or, you know, obviously most will speak like PHP and do all of the standard languages, man, you can really like save a lot. And even simple stuff, like if you can save each person in your agency 10 clicks a day, multiply times a year or whatever that is, that starts saving quite a bit. And so we've automated almost 50% now of the entire on-site SEO process.
Wow. Is that through custom software that you guys have had built? That's awesome.
Yeah, we have, it's actually one of the partners here. Like we build it all in-house, but if you have an e-commerce site with 10,000 images, I can do all the alt tags in about 30 seconds.
That's so cool.
Source, you know, image-based AI, use natural language processing, and then auto assignment. So it's a little bit more advanced, but I guess what I'd say is, if you're writing the same email over and over, here's an easy one. One thing that I really like to use is Magical Text Expander. And we use Chrome and stuff, but you can basically type in 3 short codes and it auto types emails for you. And I send the same emails all the time to clients. And
you are the second guest who's talked about this in the past week. So I definitely have to look into that.
Yeah, it's just I would encourage founders or whoever, you know, like write down in journal things that you do over and over and over again.
Yes.
And then categorize those things. Like is this a sales activity or is it a project management?
Mm-hmm.
2 to 3 months, and I know it's kind of annoying at first, but stand back and look. Wow, 90% of the things I'm doing are project management based. Maybe I should hire a project manager.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe, you know, I'm tired of typing emails, or is there a way that this invoice could automatically populate into QuickBooks? Probably, you know,
yeah.
And then you never have to do it again. So.
And then at your quarterly meeting, you can assess all these things and put those into place.
Nailed it. And last thing, sorry to like drag this portion on, but Google Data Studios. Huge fan. So for anyone who hasn't figured this out yet, it's free. And it allows, the only problem with Data Studios is it only allows Google native data. So what is Data Studios? It's a free reporting platform. That's how they intended it.
Mm-hmm.
You can have analytics and paid ads and all this stuff, which is cool. But then these agency owners are like, shoot, we also offer like Facebook paid ads, and Facebook and Google don't play. You can find third party connectors and stuff.
Okay.
We developed our own because it was significantly cheaper than paying for API credits. But what else you can use Data Studios for? What you just said. If you have spreadsheets, anything that lives on spreadsheets, and now all of a sudden it can be on Google Sheets, Google Sheets is API friendly. So now you can pull in all your numbers from QuickBooks and all these other places into a beautiful GUI platform on Data Studios that's live in real time.
Very so cool.
Look at our growth and look at our leads and look at our this.
Yep.
So we love Data Studios.
That's awesome. Very cool. So is there anything else that you would like to add before we begin wrapping up that we maybe missed?
I don't know. I guess just I would surround yourself with as many people as possible who know more than you do and mm-hmm. who have absolutely eaten dirt. And if you can save yourself trouble, do it. There's certain
yeah.
groups that are expensive, you know, EO and the whole spectrum of things is $5,000 a year, $6,000 a year. I know YPO, there's a lot of other groups, but do anything possible to get in front of highly successful people because it'll save you a lot of headaches and it'll accelerate your success.
I love that. Where do you see nuclear networking in 5 years' time?
Man, that's big. Well, my tendency, just given my position, is typically to speak to finance, but bigger than that, because we're part of a greater private equity group, and what we build. So I could talk, you know, from myself, but what we build here is either franchisable, or it could be licensable. So we have this entire other AI component, and if we can go out there in the market, which we're already positioning, we're talking to one major platform player right now, and if it's not acquired, then we will be moving public. If I can go to every other SEO or agency owner and say, would you like me to automate like 60% of all this stuff that you do? I'm sure that they would love that. And it's affordable.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, and now you can repurpose your existing staff to do higher level like quality customer service, which it turns out a lot of agencies are terrible at. We're really
yeah.
smart and intelligent, but we're terrible at talking to people and communicating value. So this would fix a lot of that. So it's either going to be a franchise play. We've done roll-ups in the past. We're certainly open to acquiring more agencies because we have those efficiencies. So we can leverage that, or it'll be licensing.
Very cool. Well, you've got some very exciting things to look forward to.
Thank you. Yeah.
So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Other than the EOS that we're talking about,
Traction.
I like Atomic Habits. I love habit stacking.
Mm-hmm.
That up. It's like, if you're sitting in the car, why are you not learning something on a podcast? And why are you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Atomic Habits would be the answer.
I love that. Yeah. Or listening to Audible or something.
Yes, exactly.
What does your morning routine look like?
I would love to be this like iconic CEO. In order to be successful, you must wake up at 5 and work out. And then my morning is I get up, I'm on Reddit for like 15 minutes and I scroll through just to stay up to date. I'm a part of a lot of AI subs, metaverse stuff, crypto, things that I'm interested in. I just start with education.
Yep.
And then absolutely coffee. And then I learn on the way to work, like you said, Audible podcasts. And then I, jump in. So
yeah,
I'd be boring, but that's mine.
Yeah. There's a lot of different morning routines out there I've learned from the podcast. So, yeah. And anyone who has kids, it just goes out the window. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
There are many. I mean, many actually in my own space. I don't follow the common marketers that are loud and on TikTok and cuss a lot. You guys know what I'm talking about. Been on Zoom calls with that person, cool guy. I'm actually, who really impacted me the most when I was first getting started is actually like Tim Ferriss. And I like how eclectic he is. So it's not just about startups. It's food, it's wine, it's biohacking. He just seems to be on the forefront of everything, regardless of how it's positioned or politics or anything. He just wants to learn and share. And yeah. So that's a guy I really look up to.
That's a good one. And what is your favorite online tool?
Favorite online tool. Well, I mean,
if there's a tool that you guys use within your business,
sure.
Could be, I get Google sometimes as an answer, your CRM, your project management software, whatever.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, I'd still have to give credit to Hubstaff. It does help with scalability because I can't think of any other instance where I could hire like 30 people from all over the world and be able to manage them all at once and know everything that's going on. So it's got to be Hubstaff.
Awesome. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
My second career in marketing? Because my first one in government was a little different. No, one thing I would have known in government is just go straight to marketing. But in marketing, it would be predominantly some of the core pieces we've covered just around try to surround yourself or get into pay for the backstage pass, anything that you can to get in front of people who have done this way better and who think outside the box. I didn't go to school for marketing. I'm not a marketing MBA. I was in federal intelligence, has nothing to do with this, but I think a lot of mindsets, some people are predisposed to doing this really well. And if you can profile people, you have emotional intelligence. If you think outside the box, you consider yourself a visionary. Mm-hmm. Find an integrator. I think that there's a lot of intelligent people out there who never catch their stride because they don't have a doer. They have all the ideas, mm-hmm. but they can't get traction. Find somebody who's the doer for you. Like you're Robin and Batman or whatever your duo is, but that's what people need. I see a lot of great ideas out there that don't ever hit the pavement because they don't find integrators. And
that's such a good tip. I love that. My business partner and I, we really nerd out on doing the whole personality profile test, like the, what's it called? The
strengths finders and all that type stuff.
Yeah. And it's so interesting and it really improves your working relationship with your business partners and just teaches you how you really learn as well. So that's such a great point. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Tyler. It was a pleasure to chat with you and I really appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast and we'll see you next time.